Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with everyone today. Welcoming our friends on Blog Talk Radio, Omega Radio, Facebook, and YouTube. What a day it is. Man, I've been up since 2 o'clock this morning and wondering, why can't I sleep all the way up until maybe 6 in the morning and then getting an hour or two? And then I heard this morning there was a 7.8 earthquake in Alaska, and that's a pretty big earthquake, 7.8. And so I thought, well, that's very interesting. Maybe there's something to do with that. And then I turned on another radio broadcast and was listening to Rick Wiles from TrueNews.com, and heard his broadcast about some of the other things going on in the country today. And I thought, very, very interesting, very amazing stuff. Our nation is in turmoil. And there is a danger that I really want to talk about in all of this conversation that we're having and the things that we're doing. And right now I'm waiting for Daniel, Brother Daniel Seckham, to give me a shout from the great island of Australia, the continent of Australia. Can't wait to hear the young man's voice. So I want to play a clip for you as things get rolling right now of a man that I've just heard about this morning, and I think you're going to like it very, very much. I think it's 3 minutes or so. And I also have a clip about one of the dangers that just happened in Southern California as well with Governor Newsom. So I think what I'll do is go ahead and begin that. Here's the clip from Governor Newsom. And this is a CBN News report, CBN News report. Okay, so here it goes.
And as coronavirus cases trend upward, many states are reinforcing restrictions. The state of California is making it very hard for Christians to worship. First, they banned singing in churches to halt the spread of the coronavirus. And then came the recent order to ban indoor gatherings, including home Bible studies and fellowship. Liberty Council has filed a lawsuit on behalf of Harvest Rock Church and Harvest International Ministry against the governor's orders, calling them unconstitutional. And joining us now with more is Liberty Council's founder and chairman, Matt Staver. Matt, tell us more about the governor's order and the details surrounding your specific lawsuit.
Well, as you said, he began just a couple weeks ago with banning singing and chanting in all houses of worship. and that includes in-home Bible studies and fellowship. And then about a week ago, he expanded that to all the counties on the so-called county monitoring list. And right now there's 30-plus counties on that list, and that number could grow. In those counties, there's no in-person service at all, no in-person worship either in the church building or in your home. So no home Bible study, no home fellowship. You know, 80% of California now has no ability under this order to worship. The governor absolutely has no power to do this. It is beyond his constitutional ability. In fact, the First Amendment draws a line in the sand. But the same governor apparently has two versions of the First Amendment, one for protesters, which he encourages right on up through and including the ban on in-person worship, including in your home. And he actually encourages more of that. We had 100,000 protesters gather in the streets, shoulder to shoulder, back to front, jamming the streets. And the governor is happy about that. He's encouraging more to engage in that kind of activity while he's banning not only all in-person worship, but all in-home Bible studies and fellowship. And that is just absolutely astounding.
So it sounds to me like you definitely think that churches are being unfairly targeted.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, we have in our 90-page complaint on behalf of the church and the Harvest International Ministry, which has 162 churches throughout California, listed many of the comments and the citations for the governor. And he, again, encourages mass protest. Even now when he's banning these in-person worship services and even in-home Bible studies, he's encouraging people to engage in protest even now. And he says, in fact, if you engage in protest, you can get a confidential COVID test. No one will need to know that you've actually been part of the protest. So they're not going to report that. I mean, that's a double standard. There is no First Amendment for protest and First Amendment that's basically truncated to nothing for places of worship. In fact, places of worship, people of faith, not only have the right of individuals for free speech and free assembly, but the free exercise of religion, and the government cannot establish religion. Going all the way back to 1947, the Supreme Court in the Everson case said that the Establishment Clause means at least this, that the government cannot force someone to attend church against their will, nor can they prevent someone from attending church against their will. And that's exactly what the governor is doing.
And quickly, we've only got about a minute left. We've been seeing situations like this since the start of the pandemic. What can be done on a federal level to prevent governors from issuing mandates like this?
Well, of course, this is obviously an individual state issue, but I think the president of the United States can continue to use the pulpit to encourage these governors to back off the restrictions. I think he can continue to do that more. I think you can also tie some federal funding to these particular situations where they're overreaching. And finally, the Department of Justice needs to become even more active than it has been to go after these governors that are violating constitutional freedoms.
All right, Matt Staver, the founder and chairman of Liberty Council, thank you for your time and your insight, sir.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
All right. So, again, imagine I'm going to introduce to you now another gentleman, another pastor that wants to say something to the church. He wants to say something to the pastors that are out there. But can you imagine Governor Newsom preventing home Bible studies in the state of California? That is a little bit disturbing, but listen to this pastor. I believe he's from Texas. Listen to what he has to say. And I'm going to make sure I get a share screen on this one. And here we go.
You know, there is so much going on in our nation right now. It's hard to keep up with. But one of the things that I am just uber frustrated and discouraged about is the reaction that churches are having to the government-mandated shutdowns. Well, you know, Romans chapter 13 says that we ought to obey the government. Romans chapter 13, used out of context, is how Hitler loaded 6 million Jews in boxcars and tried to exterminate an entire human race. Look, I recognize it's not about a building. It's not about a location. The power is not in an auditorium. The power is in the gathering, ladies and gentlemen, and we have zapped the power because we have done away with the gathering. It's not where you worship. It's not how you worship. It's who you worship. And the power, Hebrews says, Romans says, Acts says, the Gospels teach, the power is in the gathering of God's people together. And now we're not gathering. California is a hotbed for this nonsense, and now it looks like Texas, shockingly, is following suit. Look, I pastor in Nashville. We never closed one time. I'm not bragging. I'm just stating the facts. We didn't close one time. And come hell or high water, Jesus is the only thing that'll snatch us out of here to make us close our church. We're not closing the doors of our church for a pandemic, okay? We're not going to make people social distance. We're not going to have half-size auditoriums and make people wear masks. This isn't Haiti, okay? This isn't some Iraq. This is the United States of America. We're not meeting in some third world country. We're not under communism. This isn't Venezuela. This is the United States of America. And now Governor Newsom says, well, you know, churches can't sing and we don't want you to gather and it's dangerous. Let me tell you what's dangerous. It's dangerous for these mamby-pamby pastors to use out-of-context Bible verses to try to tell their people, it's okay, let's just worship online. It's okay, just stay home. It's only going to be for a couple of weeks. Hey, 15 days to slow the spread. That was months ago, ladies and gentlemen, and we're still trying to slow the spread over something that's not spreading at all. The numbers are going up, and the death rate is going down. I'm telling you, we've been lied to, we've been duped, we've been deceived. Open the churches. Be courageous, pastor. Lead through some of this nonsense. Some of you people ought to stand up to your pastor and say, pastor, open the doors of the church. Quit pandering to the left. This is getting so nonsensical. I'm telling you, we are destroying the local church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the United States because we're trying to placate to a culture that hates God in the first place. Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of God. And you think the government's going to prevail? You think COVID, some kind of pandemic is going to prevail? You think the left is going to prevail? No, ladies and gentlemen, we are being destroyed not from the outside in. We are being destroyed from the inside out. We have got to push back against this nonsense. Open your churches. This is ridiculous. There was a time when it all started, I thought, well, I'm not going to shame anybody for not open. I've changed my shame game 1,000%. I've changed my shame game. You know why? Because now you ought to be shamed because you ought to have your church open and you ought to let people worship and hear preaching and pray and fast and give and show up for the fellowship of believers. Because again, the location isn't the power. The gathering is the power of God, ladies and gentlemen. And we have got to get back to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Enough with all this padlocking the church doors. Let's just go online. No, enough. I don't care if you're a mega church. I don't care if you're a church that has five people. Close the hope centers of the United States. We need hope now more than ever. We need Jesus more than ever. We need preaching more than ever. We need the Bible and the authority of the Holy Spirit more than ever. We need to see God do something more than ever. And what are we doing? We're sitting around in our pajamas on our couches sipping lattes with not enough power to blow the fuzz off a small peanut. Open up your churches. I don't care how mad you get. I don't care how upset. You can unfollow me. You can report me. People can get mad and say whatever they want to. I don't live under communism. I live under the Constitution of this great nation, which is still great and still free. And most of all, I live under the authority and the influence of a book that we call the Bible. And so I'm telling you, churches, and I'm telling you, pastors, get a backbone, stand up, push back against this garbage, open up the churches. There is absolutely zero excuse for any church in America being closed right now over this COVID nonsense. Open the churches and let's watch revival fire fall.
Amen. And there it is. You know, that is a very powerful testimony. And again, I want to say good morning to everybody that's just getting with us here this morning. We're having somewhat of a late start. I don't know where Daniel is. If anybody knows where Daniel is, make sure. Maybe he's taking a snooze. It's 1 o'clock over in Australia right now, I think 1:15 in the morning. But anyways, we'll wait for Daniel. In the interim, good morning to all the pioneers. Good morning to all the explorers and all the discoverers. If you were tuned in yesterday, I've got to share a funny story with you. And then we're going to get into some more serious business. But after the broadcast yesterday, the lines were packed out. I mean, the amount of people that were tuning in was awesome. And at the end of the broadcast, Patricia was sitting on the steps and she was smiling, almost giggling. And she said, you better make sure that they don't think that we're waiting to go flying away on a saucer somewhere. You know, what happened to a group in California many years ago, they waited for the mothership. And I said, no, we're talking about a spaceship as a type and shadow And I knew, she knew, but she wanted to make sure that you knew. We're not waiting for the mothership. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. All right, so we're gonna go forward a little bit. I do want to say good morning to our friends out there this morning. I want to say good morning to Cindy. Cindy, good morning to you. God bless you for being numero uno on the chat list this morning. Angelina, God bless you, Angelina. Is the Lord talking to you yet, prophetic one, about the next steps that we need to be taking? Pastor Kevin Honeycutt said that the pastor we just listened to was from Tennessee. They're like brothers over there. Did you hear that connection? Kevin, I can't wait to have you back on the broadcast so that we can have some more interview time. So let's chat about that and get you back out here, okay? And I definitely want to say good morning to the woman that has started so much of this present journey, Sonia. Sonia, good morning to you, and God bless your heart. Appreciate you deeply. You and Miguel and the familia. All right. And then I want to say good morning to our dear friend in Alaska. Misty belongs to Jesus. And Misty, I believe you're up in Alaska. You guys had a 7.8 earthquake last night. I think I was wide awake for it. We were right there. Good morning to Scarlett Dill, our dear friend Scarlett. I trust you're doing well. God bless you. Say hello to Jim. I want to know how his foot is doing. Probably need to pray a little bit more, don't we? All right. So, and Cindy is seeing worship. Never stop. I agree. Very good. So good morning to everybody out there. Again, this is our Wednesday. We normally are on the air with Daniel. And so we're just going to move forward. But I will tell you a couple of things that are concerning on my heart right now. And I stopped to think about this. Have you seen on your news what's happening in the markets, what's happening in the different cities as the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, is sending FBI and other kind of undercover agents from Homeland Security, different factions going into the cities, and the rioting is increasing. Gunshots are being heard, not grenades, but things like grenades are being launched at the police, bottles, rocks. And these things could kill because they're so close. So they are deadly weapons that are beginning to be used. And as I was watching this in Portland, in Chicago, and in different cities, there were some other cities that were mentioned, also in Seattle. Of course, there's a mess going on there, New York City. You know, we thought maybe it was chilling out, right? But it's not chilling out. It's increasing. And what is interesting now that weapons are beginning to be employed, we are witnessing what I believe is the beginning of the third wave. I believe that the third wave, the sword of war, they just shut down a place in Houston where the Chinese government had all tons of documentation that a fire was set, and it's not an embassy, but I don't remember the exact name of what it was in Houston, but where the Chinese consulate, there it is, the Chinese consulate in Houston was set on fire and documents were being burned. So the United States demanded that they cease to operate. So we'll see what that's all about. But there's a lot of Chinese American conflict right now going on, conflict in our country. People are looking at it. Governor Newsom, as you just saw from that first video, Governor Newsom saying to the churches, you cannot gather for a home Bible study. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And if two of you shall agree touching anything on this earth, it shall be done unto you. And so we have this separation thing going on in California, which is going to spread into Texas as well, as we understand that. So these are major issues, but the major concern is, and I think I'm going to save it because I just saw my brother Daniel getting online with me. So let me just put my headphones on. There you are. Were you napping? Tell the truth.
I don't know what I can say. All I can say is that I'm very grateful for Sonia.
Oh, God bless
me. And
you had too many Tim Tams.
she sent me a text and she said, will you be joining Pastor Vincent today? And yeah, so I was caught out. My apologies, because I was in between launching a major website, which I'm trying to have done, and I'm also preparing for going camping with my son tomorrow morning.
Oh, wow.
So we're going up into the mountains, the Wadigan Mountains tomorrow, and so I've been frantically trying to prepare.
Understood.
So, yeah, my apologies. It was completely slipped my mind, but it's great to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. So what I want to do, Daniel, if I can, just for a moment, I want to turn you loose. I was showing a video from Governor Newsom in California, who just recently, no gathering and home fellowships anymore. We're noticing throughout the country, except for two or three states, that you cannot go to a store and purchase anything without a mask. Sounds like an eerie tone. People are starting to get frustrated, and that frustration is probably going to boil over into what we know is to be the third wave, or the sword of war is cresting from our perspective. And there's a concern in my heart I'll share a little bit later. But what are you seeing in all of this? How do you want to respond?
Yeah, that's a great point. The communists, socialists, Marxists, activists, radicals, whatever you want to call them, they are really sensing that there's blood in the water, and so they are mobilizing, organizing. And they are mustering their troops. They're mustering all their personnel because they really, for them, it's seize the moment. They are trying to capitalize on the gains made by the George Floyd protests, and they are trying to take it up a level. This reminds me of the strategy by Saul Alinsky. Because Saul Alinsky basically was all about keep the pressure on. Let me just read this to you. So he says, keep the pressure on with different tactics and actions, and utilize all events for the period of your purpose, he says. So basically he is all about piling on pressure. And this is what the left are doing right now. They're trying to stretch the police resources until it's wafer thin. And then they can bring on their anarchy, and anarchy leads to chaos. And it's out of chaos that they establish their revolution, that they establish this is what they want to do. They want to bring America to the precipice of chaos, in which they can establish and bring about their socialist revolution. Keep in mind that I think it was Alexander Solzhenitsyn, I believe. Let me see if I can bring it up. But Alexander Solzhenitsyn actually mentioned in his book, 200 Years Together, he said that attacks on the police is an old communist tactic to eliminate law enforcement. The Bolsheviks successfully unleashed widespread attacks on the police in the run-up to the October Revolution. The game is to attack the cornerstone of civilization, of a stable society, and that's law and order. If they can do away with that, they can bring in their agenda. And, you know, chaos to the communist is, I mean, that it's hand in glove. The communists must have an atmosphere of chaos in order to do their work. And that's why they try and bring as much instability as they possibly can. They need to overwhelm the system. And this is also a tactic called the Cloward-Piven strategy. So Cloward and Piven were two activists in the 1960s and 1970s who came up with their strategy, in which they believe that the best way to usher in the dictatorship of the proletariat, in other words, the socialist revolution, was to overwhelm the system. which and this meant that they would do everything they possibly can to bring in as much red tape as possible, to bring in as much legislation, litigation. Really, it was the death of a thousand cuts to overwhelm the system, and that's what they did. And this is why they're very big on welfare. In fact, I think Cloward and Piven actually had a major role in the welfare initiative that the welfare system that was actually signed in by Lyndon Johnson, which basically decimated the black community and has led to where the black community is now, where they are basically married to the government, unfortunately. But the welfare initiative that was signed into law by Lyndon Johnson had a devastating effect. Now, it was Cloward and Piven that worked on that legislation. So their strategy is to overwhelm and to instill into the people, law-abiding people, a sense of hopelessness, that there is nothing that they can do to turn the situation around, which is a lie. By the way, Edmund Burke said, when bad men combine, the good must associate. When good men combine, the good must associate, else they will fall one by one, an unpitied sacrifice in a contemptible struggle. So the good must not be intimidated by this. The good must take a stand. You must push back. Don't be intimidated by this. Don't let the left try and make you think that that they have the power. Now, by the way, in Saul Alinsky's book, 12 Rules for Radicals, the number one rule that Saul Alinsky put as his first rule in the book, which, by the way, that particular book, the epitaph was dedicated to none other than Lucifer. So the first rule was, power is not just what you have, but what your enemy thinks that you have. So it was all about focusing on power projection, projecting power, and trying to make the enemy think that you have much more power than you actually do. And this is why the American people need to wake up and understand, and that what this is like a herd of 2,000 sheep being controlled by two sheepdogs. Okay, you know it's interesting because I think it was what was the name of the guy who was just the general who was just recently just trying to think of his name. Flynn, Michael Flynn said, the good people need to rise up now, because if they don't, the 98% will be controlled by 2% of the people. The 98% will be controlled by 2% of the people. And this is why people need to understand that the forces that are instigating and that are agitating are a tiny minority compared to the people, the people who can stand up and put a stop to it. But now here's the tension, and here's the thing. And this is why I need to approach this with a sense of balance, because yes, there is things that people need to do. And this comes out of the responsibility in that we need to love our neighbor. And because we love our neighbor, we take a stand against wickedness, bullying by bad people. That's just part of what being a Christian and being a good person is. But here's the other thing. We also need to understand that there is a sense of a foreboding judgment upon America. So a lot of this, of what we're seeing at the moment, is also what I would say is the beginning of chastisement or judgment that is coming to America. So How do we approach this? Is taking a stand and trying to fix the situation like reshuffling the deck chairs in the Titanic, is it a waste of time? Should we just step back and just allow things to run their course? I think the answer to that is that, well, as Jesus said in the book of Revelation, he said, strengthen that which remains. Strengthen that which remains. So we have a responsibility within our own world where we need to push back against evil, take a stand, and we can only pray. And here's the thing. When more and more Christians adopt that attitude in which they strengthen that which remains, you will notice that there would be a groundswell, a grassroots movement, and in which God will bring about change as more and more people take on that attitude. So I think there is judgment that is coming to America. I mean, look, my gosh, in regard to the amount of, let me just read to you what Dr. Michael Brown says. Dr. Michael Brown says, do we really think we could abort 60 million babies, help flood the world with porn, declare war on the family, tolerate injustice, just to mention a few of our national sins, plus preach a self-serving, watered-down gospel without our nation experiencing shaking and upheaval?
Hmm. Amen. Yeah. So, Daniel, with that said, there's a scripture I want to go back to compliments what you've been saying, and you go back to Luke chapter 21, verse 9. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. That word commotions there in the Greek is very interesting. It's the akatastasia, and you look at that word, and here's what it means. The akatastasia, and what it means is instability, and that's what you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Instability, disorder, confusion, tumult.
Yeah.
So this is no doubt a moment within the economy of God where commotions are being witnessed, and yet it's not the end. It's really part of the beginning of the end.
It is exactly correct what you said. It is the beginning of the end. And it's what Jesus said. He said, these are the beginning of birth pains, the beginning of birth pains. And as it is with women's contractions, when they're giving birth to a baby, contractions get more intense and closer together, the closer it gets to the birth. And by the way, when you look at the Olivet Discourse, you see a very clear sections that are within that particular, I'll just see if I can bring this up. But you see some very, very clear sections in regard to the Olivet Discourse. So first up, you actually have the birth pains in which you have, let me see if I can bring this up. Yeah, so you have the, first of all, you have what Jesus said was, these are the beginning of birth pains, such as wars and rumors of wars. As he talked about famines, he talked about these events, earthquakes in diverse places. Luke puts a bit of a different spin on that. He says that men's hearts will grow faint because of what is coming upon the world. Then you have persecution. You have persecution in which people are being handed over to be put to death, where parents betray their children and children betray their parents. And this is what I would put in the category of the Great Tribulation in regard to the great. And when I say tribulation, the Greek word there is phlepsis, which means pressure, applied pressure in distress.
Amen.
And so then after that, you see it then moves on to what is actually going on in Israel. And this is where it's talking about what's happening in regard to the precursor to the time of Jacob's trouble. And that's where you, the Antichrist sets up the abomination and causes desolation. according to the prophet Daniel, puts an end to sacrifice. And that's when Jesus said, when you see that, flee. He said, those in Judea, flee to the mountains, and those who are in the city, get out of the city. Okay, so we have that that particular section that's dedicated to the time of Jacob's trouble. In other words, to get out before the forces that come to crush the defenses of Israel, the armies that will of the world that come to gang up on Israel. And then it shifts, and then it goes to celestial phenomena. And then it talks about the signs in the sky, signs in the heavens, signs in the moon and the sun and the stars. That's the celestial heavens. And then after that, it then moves on to where the show really begins. And that's when the sign of the Son of Man shall appear in the sky, and the nations of the earth will mourn. So it's interesting. But we are currently in the first phase, which are the beginning of birth pains. But I believe that will shift into the next phase, where we are going to see persecution like you wouldn't believe. And where you would think, and here's the thing, it's almost as if there's going to be a bounty that's going to be placed upon Christians. A bounty. Now, this is already happening in communist nations like North Korea and also in China. You know, if you are trying to live out a Christian life and you trying to host a Bible study or something, your neighbors can snitch on you and report you to the police. And before you know it, you've got communist police that have come in and are arresting you. But I think that Christians are going to become such a stench in the nostrils of the godless. Christians are going to become such a loathsome stench in the nostrils of the godless, in the nostrils of the pagans, in the nostrils of the left, that they will basically do anything they possibly can to see you put in prison, to see you arrested. Now, a year ago, you would have thought I would have been crazy suggesting that, but already you are beginning to see just how, no other word to say it, but crazy. Like, there was a school teacher in Michigan who was fired for simply saying that Trump is our president. He was simply observed. It was just a statement of acknowledgement. He's just saying, well, listen, Trump is our president. There's nothing we can do about that. And because he said that, he got fired. I mean, this is incredible. So I think that the intolerance of the left, and by the way, the left are the ones who preach so much about tolerance and show very little of it, but I believe their intolerance is going to become even more pronounced, even more extreme, to the point where, I mean, you're already seeing statues of Christ all over America that are being vandalized. And the churches are in the crosshairs, as well as Jews. Now, Twitter just came out and said that the symbol of the Star of David is a hate symbol.
Crazy.
Incredible.
So times are very interesting. A lot of controversy on that. Let me just shift, and I want to ask you a question about this. We are witnessing, you just brought up ample evidence that the mild form of anarchy and civil disobedience we've seen for months, but now it's kind of ramping up a little bit. And we're seeing that contention against the protesters, the communist invaders, if you will, and the police, and this is all part of the rules for radicals and all of that truth that is being presented. This sort of war that is rising, I don't see this going away. I see an escalation. In fact, I believe that tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we should be very watchful, if nothing else. Just be very watchful for that sword of war. And I know we want to get out of it, Daniel. What I'm witnessing, and tell me if this is accurate in your thinking, what I'm witnessing is all the propaganda machines beginning to rev up right now. You know, this is getting a little bit out of control. So we need to bring, you know, peacemaker conferences. We need to, you know, start putting commercials about how we all get along and let's get together. And I think somewhere the people are getting a bit unnerved, and this has gone a little bit too far. And so we're seeing the human attempt to quell something that's not going away. And this sort of war that is rising, that is going to escalate, And I believe we will see a major wave of war hit our nation and possibly around the world. And as we're witnessing it before our very eyes, what concerns me deeply is if that does happen, or when that does happen, the fourth wave that has been foretold will be a lights out scenario. And according to Pastor Dana, again, that lights out scenario, that fist of God hit the calendar in November. You know, I would be very concerned if, you know, God said there'd be four waves and the first three waves that have been foretold have happened, and that fourth wave is a lights out. That would be very concerning to me. And while we're, you know, going about our lives and living while there's light and thanking God for every day we have and being able to go to the mountains with our children and, you know, find joyful things to do, we cannot ignore that you can't go into a store and buy anything without a mask. And that's a very eerie tone, because it's really foretelling a time when we won't be able to buy and sell without the mark of the beast. And there's all this ramp up now about the vaccination, the 100 million doses. Will it come out of China? And, you know, just very bizarre things. What a time to stay focused, is it not?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting about Mark's rendition in the Olivet Discourse, and Mark puts it very, very succinctly in Mark chapter 13. Let me just bring this up. But in Mark 13, he says this: therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, and whether at evening or at midnight, or when the cock crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. And listen to what he says. It's just a very short verse. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch.
That's it.
Watch. Watch. Jesus commands us this one word. Watch. And don't be caught with your head in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
Be watching. Observe everything. Don't be left in the dark. Do what you possibly can to glean as much knowledge as you possibly can. And and at the same time, seeing everything that's going on can be a little bit discouraging. And I know sometimes I do. I need to be careful, because I can get pretty worked up when I see some things going on. It grieves my spirit. It really does grieve me. And I need to remind ourselves, hey, when things are falling apart, things are falling into place. And I need to remind myself about that over and over. You know, I find myself identifying with the scripture in 2 Peter chapter 2. And I just want to read this to you, because I think this might actually resonate with a lot of people listening to this. But it says this, in verse 5, it says, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, listen to this, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless. Let me read that again. And if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented. He was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. And this is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh and despise authority.
Wow. Wow. Absolutely amazing, the times that we're in right now. You know, as you were just speaking, I don't know what came out in those scriptures, but I felt a whoosh come all over my spirit, and I just kind of got into a weepy realm. Something went very deep right there. And I think those scriptures are very profound, and they need to be brought out some more. They need to be preached on. They need to be taught on, Daniel. Honest to God, I just was sat here, and the truth of that scripture, the truth of those verses that were just read, went very deep. And I wonder if they did in the body of Christ as well. You know, there's a lot of folks out there that are watching and listening right now. And I really believe this time of sobriety, be sober, be watchful, be alert, be awake right now. You have to have a pioneering spirit to go into the things of God, set your mind on things above. You have to be willing to go with the Holy Spirit to explore the realms of God in your spiritual life, but you cannot ignore what's going on in this life. And so being led by the Holy Spirit is essential to everything. I mean, truly, it is essential that we learn how to be led by the Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit, how to live in the Spirit, not just an in and out kind of thing. There's got to be a moment where we enter in and go in and out no more. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. Also, too, like I said, like Lot was grieved. He was very grieved. In fact, the scripture says that he was tormented in his righteous soul. But we need to be careful, because that we need to ensure that we do not allow that to take our eyes off Christ.
Amen.
Let me read you this quote by Francis Frangipane. He says this. He says, our primary purpose in life must be to abide in Christ. Otherwise, we can become so consumed with the deteriorating condition of the world that we fail to see the deteriorating condition of our own soul.
Good. Excellent. And that brings the balance. And yesterday we were talking about the call to be the pioneers, the explorers, the discoverers, breaking free of the world, the flesh, the devil, going into the realm of the Spirit, where things are absolutely fruitful, filled with the Holy Spirit, the joy of the Lord, the love of God. There's no reason why any Christian, even in our righteous anger and our speaking the truth in love, needs to have an internal environment anything less than the hundredfold fruit of the Holy Spirit. I believe that with all of my heart. With all of our doing, working, preaching, moving, there needs to be the rooted and grounded in the love of God reality. And it's not an exchange one for the other. Both are true. What's going on in the world right now has been revealed by the Word of God, so it needs to be spoken of. But also that born-again experience, going from knowledge to experience in our lives, is absolutely essential to walking through these times. The moment depression hits in or sets in, the moment that fear sets in, offense, you know, you're dead. You're a dead man walking. I don't care how much you say you believe. If those things become our inward reality, Daniel, we're dead. We must maintain the walk in the Spirit, and the fruit of that walk is in the character that we bear intrinsically and inwardly.
Amen to that.
Amen.
One thing also, too, that I might mention that's interesting, and this goes back to the when we're talking about the beginning of the birth pains, when he talks about nation will go up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. What is interesting is that in the Greek, it says ethnos will come against ethnos, or ethnos rather up against ethnos. So that's where you get ethnos, is where you get the word ethnicity, ethnic,
race.
And this is what we're seeing at the moment. And listen, the ideology of Marxism is what is driving this. So the Marxists have been very, very careful and very deliberately have been stoking racial tensions. And this is why we are seeing aggravated blacks who are now rising up with absolute anger and vehemency, basically baying for blood. They are that indoctrinated and brainwashed into thinking, into believing the lies that are coming from the media. And they want to settle the score with violence. And really, this is what is at the heart of social justice. Social justice is redistributive. It's redistributive justice. It's leveraging power and privilege over to minority groups. It's taking the power and the privilege and the special preference, taking it from the majority and giving it to tiny it's taking it from the oppressed and giving it to the oppressor. Now, what do you think the oppressed, if they've been taught and brainwashed into thinking that these people are your oppressor, what do you think the oppressed are going to do once they get that power and impunity to do whatever they want? They will mm-hmm. take revenge.
Sure.
And this is what is at the heart of social justice. It's got nothing to do with justice. It's got everything to do with revenge. Revenge. This is what is at the heart of the story of Cain and Abel. And really, Marxism, you can really draw Marxism right out of this story. Because here you have Abel who made a sacrifice out of the goodness and the innocence out of his own heart, because he loved God and he wanted to honor God and he wanted to bless God. So he gave him an offering and God accepted it because God saw his heart. Whereas Cain was envious. He was that envious over Abel, and the envy corrupted his soul so much that it led to him plotting the demise of his brother and killing him. And this is really what is at the heart of Marxism. Marxism is an ideology that comes out of a poisoned heart. A poisoned heart. Like the Marxist will look at someone who lives in a nice house and say, look at that. That's evil. That's wicked. Nobody should live like that. Whereas the person who lives by the Christian worldview, who has been touched by the goodness of God and wants to share that goodness with others, will see a nice house and will say, everybody should have a house like that.
Hmm.
Everybody should live like this. Whereas the Marxist looks at that and just thinks, that's evil. How dare they live like that? Can you see how it really is a satanic, utterly evil mindset? But by the way, let me also read you this quote from Francis Schaeffer. Francis Schaeffer says that the beginning of man's rebellion against God was and is the lack of a thankful heart. He says the beginning of man's rebellion against God was and is the lack of a thankful heart. See, the individual that has disciplined himself to give thanks in all situations will always be blessed. And this is part of the reason why America as a whole is blessed. Well, there's a number of different reasons why America is so blessed. But one of the reasons is because America has this attitude of thanksgiving, of thankfulness. You've even got a day on your calendar where it is a day of thanksgiving to the Lord. And I wish us in Australia had that. We don't have a day of national thanksgiving. But the fact that God sees the heart over the years, over the decades and centuries where you've thanked God, and because you've had that attitude of thankfulness, God has blessed you. And as it is with the individual. But here's the thing. Marxism is rampant in your country right now. And Marxism has poisoned the hearts of the masses to the point where the greatest nation that has ever existed in the history of the world is now the most, to them, they believe it is the most wicked nation, the most evil nation, the most horrible, cursed nation. You know, they have been utterly brainwashed. And with these people, you always need to say to them, compared to what? What are you comparing America to? The Garden of Eden? To heaven? Are you comparing America to heaven? If you're comparing America to heaven, then of course it's going to be a bad place. But listen, why are immigrants trying to get into your country? Why are people from all over the place, they want to start a new life in the United States of America? Because the United States of America is the place where freedom can be, where you can live a life of freedom and you can pursue your dreams. You don't get that in other nations. And this is why these people have been so utterly brainwashed. Their hearts have been poisoned. And the here's the thing. When so many people, when it reaches a point of a critical mass, where it reaches a point where the majority of the people have the same poison heart, that is a very worrying position. You know what? Richard Wurmbrand wrote the book Tortured for Christ. He also wrote another book, which I've just finished reading, which is brilliant, called Marx and Satan, where he basically looks at the life of Karl Marx and he
parallels it.
Boy, mm-hmm. Oh boy, it's amazing. I highly recommend it. You can read his book for free, actually. There's a PDF versions out there. But, you know, what he said about the Soviet Union, he said that the Soviet Union, when a nation descends into communism, he says it is national demon possession. It is national demon. It's when an entire nation becomes possessed by the devil. And that's why some of the most horrific things have gone on within communist nations. And this is why more people have been killed in the 20th century by their own government than all other centuries combined in human history. More people have been killed in the 20th century because of ideology, of demonic ideology. Interesting,
well,
isn't it?
It is very interesting, and you're bringing up some amazing points. I just want to address a few things that are being spoken out in the chat room right now. Shan Lewis is saying that a bounty is taking place in Washington right now. You can make $49 an hour as a contract tracer or a contact tracer with work from home only. I mean, this crazy stuff is going on. The demonization of our nation. I want to balance something that you just said and kind of compliment it as well. The only comparison that I've ever made about our country is a biblical comparison. For example, when God was ready to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, it was because of a certain conduct that was being enacted. And so when we promote that conduct, in that comparison, we are evil in that sense. Our government is evil to promote homosexual marriages, lesbian marriages, mass murder of over 90 million babies in the womb, the shedding of innocent blood, the raw pornographic reality that is moving over the minds of the masses. That's a demonic impression as well. So those things are evil. Our greed is evil. Our pride is evil. And the day does come, right, Daniel, where it has really nice things, like maybe Lot had and Mrs. Lot. It's time to leave those things behind to get to the safe place. Now, unfortunately, we've got 90 seconds left. Go ahead and wrap everything up in 90 seconds, if you can, sir, before you get to the mountaintop.
Yeah, for sure. So basically, the quote by Richard Wurmbrand actually is communism is collective demon possession. So I just thought I'd clarify that.
Okay.
But I want to read to you something else. And look, don't be take this to heart. But this is what Elder Ignatius of Harbin said. He said this in 1958. He said, "What started in Russia will end in America."
Wow.
And I thought, wow. What started in Russia will end in America.
Hey, real quick.
He said that in 1958.
You have a Bible study you're doing live on Wednesdays. Is that correct?
Yes, but I need to mention that it won't be happening this week because I'll be
in the mountains.
Up in the mountain.
Don't get stuck on the side of a mountain, whatever you do.
No.
I've been there. It's not pleasant.
It's going to be cold up there, but nowhere near as cold as where you were.
All right, stay away from the snow. Yeah.
Yeah, but listen, it'll have to be continued on next week. But yeah, so I just wanted, but also too, but you know, it's interesting also too, Abraham Lincoln said that we shall nobly save or meanly lose the last best hope of earth.
Yeah.
He was referring to the United States when he said that. Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting. It's very powerful. Yeah. These men knew something. They knew something, and we've lost it. We've turned it over, and now only a battle, a real, beyond political battle, a revolution.
Yeah.
You know, so what's going to happen? But our collective sin in our nation has weakened us, and the church being scattered and separated is also a kind of weakness, but maybe it wasn't so powerful after all anyways the last few decades because of our decadence ourselves. Only God knows. We're going to talk more about it later. Daniel, get ready for that mountain climbing trip. Enjoy your family. And God bless you, and thanks for joining me on the air today. I really appreciate it. We love you so much.
You're welcome.
All right,
love
my friend. All right, we are on our way right now. We're going to be going to KURM Radio in 1 hour. That's KURM.net. And we'll be having a one-hour discussion with Ian Rood. He will be joining me on the air for 1 hour on KURM Radio. Just go there on your computer, whatever it is, KURM.net. And that'll get you to that program. I'm Vincent Xavier. We're going to say goodbye for right now. Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Do you want to deal with the spirit of iniquity? Do you know what it is? Do you know how iniquity is a little bit different than sin? Well, OmegaRadio.org. Right now, Patricia Joy Xavier with a roundtable discussion. Until we meet again, friends, God bless you. Shalom. This is Pastor Vince. We'll see you tomorrow with Pastor David Obenauer. Pastor Dave is going to be with me tomorrow. And we'll be looking forward to that interview. Shalom. Have a great day.